Welcome to the GOG Cast, brought to you by XSplit Broadcaster. Simple yet powerful, live streaming and recording. And now, your host, Leah.
Hello and welcome to another Girls on Games podcast. My name is Leah. I am your host for this show. This is episode number 140. Got another great one for you this week. For topic of the show, we've got an interview with Carl Edwin from Northern Arena. Why? Because we've got an event happening here in Montreal real soon. The Injustice 2 Elite League is happening December 16th and 17th. So, you know, when topic of the show rolls around, you're going to find out all about that and what Northern Arena and the crew have been up to since we last spoke with them and since their last event in Montreal, which was like, what, last year? 2016?
Yes, it was.
It's been a little while. So, yeah, we're going to be talking all about that. A little fair warning, we're actually recording this really early this week. So, if we're off topic with news and the fact that we're not addressing the Video Games Awards is because technically it hasn't happened yet. And you can blame me for that. I'm the one that has to go.
We're like 6 days early.
I know. Not really. I know. We're really early. But hey, we wanted to get you guys content. We want to be regular, you know, all that kind of stuff. Take our fiber, all that jazz.
I was going to say, that's why you eat all bread.
But I'm the one who's traveling for work, and we still wanted to record for you guys because we love doing this and we love sharing it with the world. So, yeah, that's why. So I hope you enjoyed our tweeting and commentary on the Video Game Awards because I'm sure we will be talking about it during that time. A little bit of, you know, house cleaning news before I introduce you to everybody on the panel, the normal panel, you know, the normal crew. If you like what you're listening to, you can go subscribe to the GOG Cast on iTunes, Google Play, Podbean, Spotify, and the reason Leah's been so MIA, the new iHeartRadio app. Yay! Whoa! So, not only are we available on the iHeartRadio app in Canada, we're also available in the iHeartRadio app in the US. Mm-hmm. So, yay! You can listen to us all different places. So, yeah. That's my day job, you know. More so, yeah, that's what I've been very, very, very busy with and very, very excited to finally be able to say. So, you know, go check that out. Time to get into all the fun people on the podcast with me, Catherine. How you doing?
I'm good. I've been keeping it low, playing a lot of games, which was not what I usually been doing since the past 3 months. So I'm starting to feel good. It helps.
Nice. Allie, how are you?
Doing the opposite of Catherine.
Yeah,
like,
it happens.
Pretty much the polar opposite. I've been sick.
Poor
for,
thing.
Like, the past 4 days, it has not been good. I have not touched a video game in a while.
Victorino.
It's listen, you.
What? I'm actually sad for you.
Oh, you're sarcasm.
I said no. I was not.
It's been a week. I was sick all last weekend, and I didn't really realize how crappy it is to be sick on a weekend. It doesn't really happen all that often. I usually tend to get sick, like, you know, beginning of the week because I'm stressed or whatever. Yeah. I was sick all last weekend, and I just realized, like, I Sunday night came around, and I was like, what the fuck? I want to do over. Like, this is bullshit.
I wasn't able to do weekend.
Yeah, I wasn't able to do anything. So I'm still a little bit salty about that, and you know, still trying to get into the swing of things this week. But
totally get you.
Yeah.
Well, we hope you feel better soon.
Thank you. Sorry, I didn't mean to, like, bring down the podcast here. I'm like,
that's okay. It happens. Fine, it happens. Know. We have those weeks.
It's not like you it can doesn't do. Happen every week anyway, so.
Sorry, God. I'm going to cut you.
Simon, how are you, my friend?
I am fantastic. Thank you.
Good. Yes. Very good. All right, let's get into all the games we have been gaming or haven't gaming. I'm going to start with Catherine. What's going on?
Still on Mario Odyssey, going through the Luncheon Kingdom, not enjoying it, so...
No, Luncheon Con is kind of the worst.
Is that the one that's, like, polygonal-shaped?
It's the one with all the lava and
with
the
food and the forks and...
Okay, because I saw that one. I thought that was the one I was most aesthetically excited about, yet I still haven't touched Mario, so.
No.
Oh, it's the I tried getting extra moons, and a lot of, like, the jumping puzzle or whatnot, or the little things were very, very hard. I couldn't get to them. Like, they're really hard to, the little flame people that you...
Yeah, they're kind of, like, super fucking difficult to control.
Yeah.
Kind of hard to get a hang of.
Yeah, so there's, like, there's one where you're, like, you have to... There's, like, just this little sliver of lava, and you, every time I tried to jump
yeah.
to the next sliver, it's, like, it's as if landing yeah, on a sheet
like,
of ice. Yeah,
you have to, like, hit the tomatoes or whatever the fuck, so, like, they do lava on the floor, and then you jump in that puddle, and then you kind of have to do that over and over again. That was really annoying.
No, it's just so far, I'm trying to get through it to get to another kingdom to fall back in love with the game. But right now I'm just like, this is...
You're getting close to the stake, though. That's kind of fucking funny. So.
I already did that part.
Oh, yeah? To me, that kind of sold the level to me. Like, okay, I'm a stake. This level's good now. I'm okay with it.
You know, I have been watching my significant other play Mario, whatever.
The plumber.
Odyssey. I've been watching him play that. And I don't know, man. I feel like the magic of Mario is kind of lost on me because I wasn't super into it as a kid. So, like, I mean, I got really excited when I got to be a dinosaur for a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But then that was it. Yeah. And then I was like, oh,
There's a lot more, in my opinion, more fun captures in the dinosaur. Dinosaur is kind of cool and it's kind of a cool novel thing. But, like, towards the end, especially at the end, like, I won't spoil it, but you capture something very fucking cool and fun. I was like, this is fucking awesome. So, yeah.
I don't know. Maybe that game's just not for me. And it sucks because I really wanted to enjoy it. I mean, it looks beautiful.
I mean, it's a fairly short game. Like, if you just do the first ending of 100 and something stars, like, it's fairly quick.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, even if you're not a big fan, eventually if you end up playing it, you're still going to have a good time. But you don't have to, like, grind through the 800 billion stars that they seem to have.
Yeah.
Moon,
no.
Not stars, sorry.
There is a potential for grinding, but there's also a potential for just going forward. And you can play with the assist on if you're, like, getting bored or you're getting annoyed. But, I mean, it's so far, like, platformer-wise, it's one of the best platformers I've played.
It's definitely... probably the best platformer, 3D platformer ever made. I will go ahead and say it. It is probably, it's that level.
Yeah. So I'm still going through that. I'm still enjoying it. I'm not going to hunt all the moons. I'm just going to play till I'm bored. And so Leah can have it for Christmas.
You know, after I get back from Toronto, I'm going to start hounding you. I haven't hounded you yet, so get on that.
I'm going to try. I think I'm towards the end. I'm going to try to get through it. If not, I'm going to see
you. You're at Luncheon? You just finished Luncheon?
Yeah.
You're about halfway.
About halfway?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll see if I can power through it. But it's going to be hard because I'm also playing Dragon Age Inquisition.
Am I going to have to crack the whip?
Yeah, you got to save the... What is it called again?
Thedas.
Yes, that's the one.
That's the world we're in. I'm the Herald of Andraste and leader of the Inquisition. And I got to save Thedas from Corypheus. Mm-hmm. And I got to get into Dorian's pants.
Yes, that's the most important thing to do. Are you a dude or a girl?
I played a dude because Dorian is exclusive to dudes. Because I played a girl the first time around. And with BioWare game, there's actually a good incentive to switch gender when you do another playthrough.
Mm-hmm.
Very cool.
Because it opens
romances. Isn't the character from Freddie Prinze Jr. swimming both ways?
Freddie Prinze Jr. He plays Iron Bull.
Yeah, he plays the big guy. I think Iron Bull swings both ways. It's kind of cool.
He swings always.
Yeah, it's like,
he's
whatever.
The one character that has no restriction.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Isn't that a racial thing for them too? Like, isn't that like a
culture
thing?
Yeah, it is a culture thing. Because for them, it's not like race or gender or whatever. It's more like they don't get married or they don't have sex with their friends or the people they love.
I don't remember.
It's a whole story about it.
Mm.
And then you have Dorian, who's from Tevinter, it's a very conservative country that's based on breeding and bloodlines and things like that. And lo and behold, he's gay, so it's like fucking up his parents' plans.
Yeah, no breeding and no whatever.
Yeah, and then you have Solas, that asshole. 3-year-old game. I won't spoil it, but that dude, fuck that dude. He's exclusive to ladies and elven ladies because he's racist.
Oh my.
Racist as fuck.
And that's BioWare. They like to have a good cast of characters.
Yeah, well, that makes sense. You know what? Everyone does everything and everyone has everything. So
yeah, but I'm going through the game like twice as fast. Because I'm like, oh yeah, that's there, that's there, that's there. Yeah, ding, true. Ding, ding, pong, pong. I'm just enjoying the story. I'm just replaying for the story. So that's what I've been gaming.
Very cool. How about you, Allie?
I've been gaming...
Not a lot. You said, yeah. It's like...
Yeah, definitely not a lot. But the last thing I did touch was Xbox's latest Games of Gold title for the Xbox One, which was Warhammer End Time Vermintide.
How Which you find
quite
it?
Quite a mouthful.
Isn't it?
I am enjoying it quite a bit. It's very Left 4 Dead, but in the Warhammer setting. I'm going to keep playing it. I'm going to keep playing it to the end. I think I'm like only on the second act. Second act in easy difficulty, and you can replay all the acts on like higher difficulties, and there's like specific objectives in each map. So I'm gonna go through that, but no, it's a great time. Pretty liberal achievements. It's a visually a beautiful game. It kind of makes me wish that we had like a full fledged RPG.
There's a noise.
That's fucking Penny.
Oh.
Chewing on her bone.
Yep, we heard that.
Penny, you need to stop. Thank you. She just like stopped with her mouth like around the bone and like looked at me like what?
Bowie does that all the time. What do you mean? What am I doing bad? All right, continue. Sorry about that.
So yeah, it's visually a beautiful game, and it kind of makes me want a full-fledged RPG in that universe. But no, it's good, and it's free. And I mean, you can't really beat free.
No, you can't. You can't beat free.
Consider this, listeners. Consider this your reminder to go ahead and download your Games with Gold games if you have Xbox Live Gold, because there's a few gems. There's a few gems in there.
Is that one the one from December 1st to 15th?
Yes.
Okay, so get on that. You got, even after we post this, you got a few days to go.
Yeah, a few days.
Download. Cool. How about you, Simon? What are you playing?
I have been playing Wolfenstein. So I went back into, we talked about it in the last podcast. Went back and started over the first game, which is the new something?
New Colossus. New Order.
New Order. New Order. Thank you, Leah.
You have it written in the document, Simon.
I know, but I don't have the document open.
Oh, okay.
I should, but I don't know why I don't. Anyways, yeah, so I actually finished this weekend. It's a fairly quick game, so I blasted through in like 8 to 9 hours. I started the Old Blood a little bit. It's very different in its approach. Like, a lot of what happens in the New Order is that you can choose between stealth and all-out attack, whereas that in the Old Blood, when you start off, you have to use stealth. Like, you can't do anything else but stealth because you're going to get fucked by the big giant robots with the big guns.
Okay.
So you kind of have to, but I usually play stealth, so I'm not complaining. I'm having a good time. It's fun. And then as soon as, I think it's not super long. I think it's like 4 to 5 hours. So as soon as that's done, I'm going to jump into the new Colossus, which I bought as well. Really looking forward to it. By the time this comes out, I will have probably finished the Curse of Osiris Destiny 2 expansion already. It came out today, the day we're recording, so I played a little bit, played the first mission so far. You know, say what you will about Bungie, but whenever they release something, it's fucking fantastic from day one. So music is really, really... Oh, hi, Bowie. It's too bad we don't do this live anymore, because this is funny. Anyways, as I was saying, music is fantastic. I'm having a good time. Already got some of the new weapons. So, I'm looking forward to all the new content that has been released, along with some quality of life improvements. Not everything that we're kind of hoping for, but a lot of new stuff that's going to help out. And, of course, still playing Mario at least an hour a day or something. I'm at 400 and something moon. Like, I'm not UVA level, which has like 694, I think, at this point, which is retarded.
I got her Mario Rabbit, so I might just take Mario away from her and give it to Leah just for
God,
for
like
UVA's
over
sake.
Here,
I feel like she
here.
Got it a week and a half ago, and she's already at like almost 700 stars. This is crazy.
She was like, this is my jam. This is like you know, like Paper Mario is my favorite game. I love this, and she's addicted.
I mean,
there's
you know,
so many good games for her to play on Switch, I think. Yeah, like, she's gonna have, that was a good purchase for her.
Yeah, no, so far it's been fun. So that's pretty much what I've been gaming for the last couple of days.
Nice. Yeah, I finished Mario Rabbids the other day. I don't know why I always like Rayman. Have to stick Rayman in there, but I'm like, I do. You know why? It's because people was talking about Rayman the other day, saying like it's a dope platformer, which it really is. It's a good game. Mm-hmm. So yeah, which I think is Origins, I think is on, or is it Legends that is on Switch?
Legends, right?
Yeah, Legends, the latest
yeah,
one.
Yeah, both of them are good though. Both of them are good. So yeah, Mario Rabbids, I finished that up. Because I just had like two or three things left to do to actually finish the game. I was like, why haven't I done this? So I finished it up. That's what happens when you play so many games and want to jump on the newest title. And yeah, still playing Golf Story and enjoying that. I'm in a spot now that requires me to be... It's really windy in this area. So you have to like take that into effect with like, you know, your golf swing and where you want the balls to go. So... So it's a little bit more difficult.
I looked up a couple of videos and it's interesting. So I'm gonna get my hands on it whenever
$20.
I feel like I'm done. Yeah, $20. Yeah. Totally
yeah,
worth it.
It's a good deal. Like I said, the humor, you'll enjoy it.
Yep.
All right. I think it's time to get into news. We'll do that right after this break.
Your financial future shouldn't be as random as opening a loot box. So Meta Financial can help you reach the next level with a financial plan that works for you and the world thanks to our socially responsible investing options. With Someta Financial, your money is good everywhere. Find us at SometaFinancial.com.
All right, we're back with some news. Simon, yeah. What you got for me?
It's funny, we're just talking about the Switch, and I was going to say, I'm going to have to find a game to play between Mario Odyssey and whenever Dark Souls comes out on Switch. So I didn't say it because I didn't want to sell my news too early. But yeah, it's not confirmed yet, but there's big rumors that a Dark Souls 1 remastered will be coming to Xbox One, PS4, and Switch.
Wow.
So, That's pretty fantastic news. Dark Souls 1 has a lot of shortcomings, a lot that Dark Souls 3 really, really fixed. I don't talk 2 doesn't exist. And but honestly, it's still an absolute classic, and it's still, if you're a fan of the Dark Souls series, go play Dark Souls 1. It's a really, really, really good game. And we'll see what the remaster version brings. Like, hopefully it bring some quality of life changes, maybe some, I would love to see some upgraded textures, because the textures look wonky as fuck. Like, it's a pretty old game now.
When did it come out?
2004, I want to say.
To the Googles!
No, sorry, 2011, 6 years. And it looks really bad for a game that was made 6 years ago.
Yeah.
Like, if you compare it to Dark Souls 3, which came out, like, last year, looks like a modern RPG game, whereas Dark Souls looked like it was made in PS1. So, well, maybe not PS1, but it's not as smooth as you would like it to be, but it's still a really, really fantastic game. So, I mean, if you have never played Dark Souls and want to feel like throwing your Switch in the Metro, then definitely go get Dark Souls 1 remastered on the Switch, or PS4 or Xbox One if you want to have
it. I could totally see someone rage on the Metro playing that game.
Yeah, oh my god, like, yeah, I would watch someone play Dark Souls on the Metro. I would like, I would, there's nothing quite as fun as watching someone play Dark Souls for the first time. It's so much fun. Like, when Ali was doing it, I was like, yes, this is so much fun. It's just like everyone discovering what it is and discovering how this game is fucking brutal, and it's not not forgiving at all. That was kind of it's a fun way of doing it and kind of discovering the game over again, really.
How about you, Kat? What news you got?
We're staying in the Switch.
Yeah.
Because today Capcom made an announcement that got fans roaring. Actually, it's not today. It was yesterday. Whatever. You're not even listening to this on the day. If you were living under a rock last week. Capcom announced Mega Man 11.
Yeah, boy!
So, the first Mega Man since 2010.
Yeah, pretty much 7 years in the making.
Yeah, it's got a new style. The 2.5D hand-rendered style. It looks great.
Yeah.
It's going to be on all the platforms, including Switch, which I think it's a great It's going to be a great Switch game.
Yeah, definitely.
So it's coming late 2018. Mm-hmm. Xbox One, PlayStation 4, Nintendo Switch, PC. And they've also announced some bundles. Some bundles of the Mega Mans.
Yeah.
Mega Man Legacy Collection and Mega Man Legacy Collection 2 are going to be on Switch sometime this year. No, next year. Sorry. Okay. This year's almost over.
I was about to say. Woo, they got 3 weeks!
Yeah. Well, it's already on Xbox One and PS4, but they're doing the port for Switch. And they also announced that all 8 games in the spin-off Mega Man X series are also going to be coming to Xbox One, PS4, PC, and Switch as well. So not only is Capcom be like, surprise, new game, but also all the old games are going to be on all the things. So
honestly, like, Mega Man X is probably one of the best platformers ever made. Speaking of platformers, so it's really, really fantastic. It has a perfect mix of difficulty and reward, so it's really fun. If you've never played Mega Man X, the fact that it's coming to Switch is really going to be awesome. So. Yep.
It's pretty cool too. It's like platformers are making this revival lately between Odyssey, that Yooka-Laylee is now coming this month. So yes, I think it actually releases the week that this podcast comes out. I think it's like the 14th or the 11th or something like that of December.
Yeah, I feel like it's supposed... too bad for Yooka-Laylee.
Why? I think they did some improvements and stuff.
They did, and it's going to be fantastic. Like, a lot of the patch, I played a little bit on PC, and it's much better than it was, but I feel like it's a lot of the glamour is going to be gone now that Mario Odyssey kind of stole the thunder a little bit.
But it's something that people could easily jump to when they're done with Mario.
Yeah, for sure. We'll see how it goes, but I don't know. I feel like the timing's a little bit off.
Yeah, I can understand that, but they probably wanted it out the door by the end of the year, and it's the best way they could do it. They should have came out before Mario, but I mean, that was October 27th. Like, they were probably not ready. Yeah. How about you, Allie? What do you got?
It's not really a piece of news. It's just something that kind of caught my eye this week. Actually, it was today or yesterday. So either the 4th or the 5th of December. The Google Doodle of the day is actually an interactive game to teach kids how to code. It was really, really simple. It was using bunnies, collecting carrots, and basically just like drag and drop commands. But I thought that was really cool. And it got me and a friend talking and, you know, just kind of discussing about how these things, like STEM, is approached these days versus how it was when we were growing up. And that applies to like all four of us here, you know. I knew people made video games back when I was in high school, but the idea of me actually becoming one of those people who made video games at a level like that never really crossed my mind, because it's just not something that was really talked about, or, you know, there wasn't any tools available for kids my age, at least not ones that were accessible. And so just seeing stuff like this makes me really happy. And I think I included a toy on our annual gift ideas post that does the same thing. It's like a physical toy that kids play with, and they, you know, they add blocks into the toy, and it updates an app game, and so they can design their own Star Wars themed game, these different levels. And I just thought I think it's really cool. I think it's awesome that, you know, in the future, if any of us have children, that's going to be a very real line of work for them, or hobby. Even if they don't go into it as a job, even as a hobby, I think that's really important. And I think it's really cool that those toys are so readily available and it's so mainstream.
Mm-hmm.
Totally. For it to be like on the front page of Google. And I found myself playing around with it for like, you know, a couple minutes, because I thought, I was like, oh, that is really neat. So I just wanted to bring that up.
Yeah, it might date me a little bit, but it kind of reminds me of like the Speak and Spell, where they put like, you know, they're learning, but they're putting gamification behind it.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of thing, which, you know, I guess was our equivalent of trying to learn something with a cool tool, cool, fun toy of sorts, as cool as you think a Speak and Spell might be. but yeah, I had two of them as a kid, two different ones. One was math related. I'm still not good at math, so I don't know what that says about the game.
Or about you.
Oh, whatever. Fine arts, yo. Yeah. I did fine arts. I make sure everybody knows
you,
that.
You made your choice.
Don't ask me about numbers. I've got a little piece of news. This popped up right before recording the podcast. Minecraft is doing something cool for the holidays. They just announced 12 Days of Minecraft, which is going to be a free gift giveaway. You don't need to edit, Simon. A free gift every day from December 12th on the marketplace. So here's the deal. It's like, you know, the 12 Days of Christmas kind of deal, except something special coming out of Minecraft for you. So that's pretty cool. And they announced what the first gift is, and it's going to be available free for you for 24 hours. And it is like a alpine sleigh race thing or sled race. So the way they've got it set up, it kind of looks like you got five dudes, little Minecraft characters in little sleds with oars and almost like the boat from the game. And yeah, you will slalom down this hill and try and, you know, be the first one to the bottom. So it looks pretty nice, I gotta say. So I'm excited to see what else they're gonna be putting out. Apparently it's going to be like tweeted every day with the new releases. So if you are a Minecrafter, which we know many of our team are, go check that out starting December 21st and every 12 days after that, including Christmas Day.
Nice.
So someone gets a nice console, might have some free stuff to play on Minecraft.
Tell me.
That's cool. Alrighty then, it's time for topic of the show, and this week we've got an interview with Carl Edwin from Northern Arena. We're going to talk about the Injustice 2 Elite League event happening here in Montreal December 16th and 17th. So stay tuned for that right after this break. So, Carl, how you been?
Been good. Thanks. Thanks for having me in the show.
No problem. I'm excited. You're coming back to town real soon.
I am coming back to town with Northern Arena. So we're excited about our second year. So, coming back to Montreal.
All right. So before we get into all the juicy details that's going down in this new event, let's talk about what's been going on for Northern Arena since we last saw each other on the competition stage back at the Bell Center.
Yeah, a lot actually. So obviously, you know, we've been working with different publishers and try to make sure that we stay relevant in this space, obviously. And it's good. We did three events since. Mm-hmm. Did one for Rocket League that was really successful. One for Street Fighter, and then we worked with the CNE, the Canadian National Exhibition here in Toronto. So we've done a few cool things. And again, like we were doing a lot of stuff in Toronto, but it's time to get back to Montreal, you know. Mm-hmm. So it's good timing.
We miss you.
Exactly. Yeah, I miss you too. Miss you too.
So what's going down in Montreal this weekend?
Yeah, so we're gonna have two things happening. So it's, well, the first is our what we call Northern Arena Experience. Mm-hmm. So so that's where we have all our activities in one, I guess, mega event, if you want. So this one is not going to be super, super big, but I think it's going to be interesting. It's a start of a concept that is really dear to my heart. So I really want to have some bigger events that have multiple games at the same time in the final. So we're going to have Injustice 2. So that's going to be the first final. So we had 4 weeks of league play, if you want. So we had around 50 to 60 players across Canada who compete throughout the weeks, 4 weeks. And then we have 16 players that are coming to the final. So some of them are coming from Vancouver. We have Calgary, obviously Toronto, Montreal. So they're coming from all over the country to compete for that $10,000 prize pool for the Injustice 2 final.
Good times.
That's the first part. Now, the second part is Call of Duty. So as you know, the new Call of Duty World War II just came out. Pretty good game. And obviously, everybody's stoked about this game. And we're bringing the best team of Call of Duty to Montreal. So what we did is we invite four teams. So that portion of the show is called Showdown. So Northern Arena Showdown. So we invited four teams that are in that space of Call of Duty, and we're gonna qualify. Well, there will be some qualifiers, and the qualifiers are pretty much right now in Dallas. So it's a partnership that we have with Call of Duty World League and MLG. So they have their event in Dallas right now, and the first 14, if they're not invited already, will compete in Montreal. So we will fly them in Montreal, and we'll have eight of the best Call of Duty teams to compete for a $30,000 price pool. So yeah.
Wow, that's pretty good. That's pretty impressive.
Yes, we're excited about that one. And I think what is pretty cool is that we have that partnership with MLG and Activision for the Call of Duty section of things. And then obviously that relationship with Warner Brother for Injustice. So it's good to be, working with these guys, these companies, and make sure that we create a good show for everyone coming.
So how did you choose what games you were going to bring to Montreal?
Yeah, so we're still in a testing phase, in the sense that there's so many games, and we don't know necessarily what game's going to work with what city, right? So
right.
we try to do tournaments across the country, mostly in Toronto, Vancouver, and Montreal, right? So those are going to be our main hubs, if you want, when we do tournaments. So the Rocket League tournament that we've done in October, was a great tournament, but we've realized that it could have been better in Montreal. Why? Because the scene is bigger in Montreal for Rocket League. That we didn't know really, right? So we try to test a few things. So for this one, we thought, okay, you know what? Call of Duty is a big game. It seems that there's a big following in Montreal. So let's bring it there and test and see if it works. So again, like, you know, we're going to repeat those tournaments throughout the year. So the first 2-3 years, maybe we'll see a lot of like testing, like, okay, well, let's try this game in this city and see if it works. And then after a while, you'll see that pretty much all the same games will come to the same city. Why? Because if there's a big, fan base in that city, we'll do the same thing. Best example is, And we think that Dota will be huge in Vancouver, so we'll see. So that's the thing, and then you can have some surprises, because I remember in Montreal last year, we were like, okay, CS:GO is going to be huge and everything, so we're going to do CS:GO and Dota. Then Dota is going to be the sideshow kind of thing. And then turns out everybody was there for Dota. It was like, everybody was excited about Dota. So you never know. So that's why we're testing.
So in your testing, obviously, like, you're picking up a new game in picking up Call of Duty World War II, but there's a bunch of other new games that have been out that are esport ready, like the PUBGs, the Overwatch, even though Overwatch has been out for a little bit. How do you guys adapt then when, I guess, you've kind of got a system going, you think you know what's coming up, and then, whoop, here comes a new game that like blows up in the esports world.
Yeah, yeah, and we try to, and those are the two games that you just mentioned. We really tried to have them. Mm-hmm. For Overwatch, as you know, the Overwatch League, they're pretty much controlling everything. It's a little bit like League of Legends. Mm-hmm. So we went to discussion with these guys, and turns out that it was maybe not the right thing to do, or maybe not the right time, especially because Overwatch League is about to launch. So would people be interested to see a Northern Arena event on Overwatch when everybody's focusing on the league? So it was kind of like, so that for that part, it was easy. We're like, okay, you know what? Maybe it's not the right game. Even though we know it's a popular game, it was not necessarily the right game to play. So for PUBG, same thing. Like, we talked to the company PlayerUnknown Corporation, so we talked to them, and same thing. The game was in beta. They had that partnership with ESL, so we're like, okay, you know what? Let's wait for the new year when that game's going to be officially launched. Then you'll see maybe some announcement on our side. And I'm smiling.
So you guys must have your ear to the ground, like really paying attention to what's up and coming, what games are kind of petering off.
Big time, big time. We have to, if we want to stay on the forefront and do, great events, it's important to make sure that we listen and we see everything that is happening in the scene. So, and when I say being at the forefront, is just basically trying to say, hey, you know what, in Canada right now, we're pretty much the only one trying to bring like the professional gamers on site. Obviously, there is the DreamHack and the Lang ETS, but for us, it's, we have different circuits that we're trying to build and create throughout the year. So it's not necessarily one-off event. So we want to make sure that we stay relevant. And you know, last year we did Clash Royale, which was a mobile game, which back then was booming. Like it's still a popular game, but we tried it; it was great. So you'll see a lot of that. What we really want to make sure that we put our hand on every popular, I would say, popular games.
How do you think the landscape has been in Canada now since, you know, I mean, you've had, I guess, one of your biggest events would have been the Bell Centre one last year, and kind of like the landscape of, you know, new people coming to esports and especially here in Canada?
Yep. Yeah, I think it's a good thing. I think it's a really good thing that it's booming. A lot of people are interested, and, you know, a lot of people are trying to do events. I mean, recently I've been talking to the guys here in Toronto for MLSC. They're prepping, you know, they're prepping for the NBA league. So that's the E-League for the NBA. So they're going to have their own team and stuff. So there's a lot going on, and it's exciting. It's exciting, and it's going to push us, you know, to do better things too. So I think it's a good thing. It's a start. I would say that.
Have you seen growth?
Growth, yes. Interest, I would say a lot of interest. Growth, you know, it's tough to measure. Like if you want to talk about numbers of viewers, definitely. If you're talking about the amount of money injected in the business, that's a little bit more difficult to calculate, because we're not everywhere at the same time. I mean, there's you know, World Gaming is also doing some stuff, and there's a lot of different companies that are doing stuff. So growth in the numbers of people watching esports, definitely. Like I've seen the growth.
Do you think the word of mouth is working? Like, do you guys see, like, you know, the non-traditional, I guess, or people who grew up on esports? Like, do you think it's becoming more top of mind for people who are maybe more casual gamers?
Yeah, I think, and also what I realize is that some people that was doing, they were in the esports world more on the casual side. They loved it, but they just like, they couldn't make a living out of it. Now they're like, whoa, I can have a full-time job working in esports. This is fantastic. So you see a lot of people changing their mindset, and they're like, okay, you know what? I can focus on this, you know, career, because there's an opportunity. There will be some opportunities for me. So it's a good thing.
Cool. And so for next year, what's the game plan? I mean, I guess this is now the Montreal one, your last one for 2017, and then you guys go on break until next year?
Yeah. So it's the last one for 2017. And in a week from now or 2 weeks top, you'll hear a lot about our calendar for next year. It's going to be pretty exciting. Again, we're focusing on making sure that we have content throughout the year and not necessarily making like those massive events. So Northern Arena Experience is going to stay as a brand and is probably going to be our marquee event that we do throughout the year. So maybe two or three of them, not more. But you'll see a lot of leagues. So we have some partnership with different publishers. So we will announce, you know, different leagues and different stuff with those partnerships. So the first example was Warner Brothers. Doing that with Warner Brothers was great. And then we're going to definitely repeat that exercise with them and other companies for sure.
Do you think it's easier when you've got the companies where the games are built out of Canada, or does it matter at all?
Doesn't matter at all, actually. So best example is Activision, Call of Duty, you know, and MLG. So they just decided, they were like, oh, you guys are cool, and you know, we need to stop in Canada. Perfect. Let's work with you guys. So it works. It works. And obviously, you know, when it's local, well, it's just that the meeting, instead of being on Skype while they're in person.
Yeah, that's true. So I'm really stoked about next weekend. Where's it happening here in Montreal?
Yeah, it's going to happen in Imperial Theater. So on Bleury Street. We decided to take that spot. It was kind of a cool thing because, you know, the theme is like World War II. We're trying to find like an old theater that would fit with that, ambiance. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, no, it works. I think it's going to be, people are going to be blown away by what we're going to do in there. Like, we're going to deck the place. It's going to be, I hope they enjoy it. I say it's going to be cool.
And it's the 15th and 16th or 16th and 17th?
16, 17. Yes.
16, 17. All right.
On the 15th, 15 is the Friday.
Right.
So on the Friday, we have our media, what we call our media day. So we'll invite some media. They'll be able to do interviews with me, with the players and the teams and stuff like that. And then after that, 16 and 17, we'll have Injustice and Call of Duty.
What are the cost of tickets?
$20.
Oh, not bad.
Yeah. So 18 or 17 something plus tax and whatever. It's $20 flat. Yeah.
Very nice. Very nice. Well, Carl, thanks so much for joining me for the podcast. I know I'm stoked about it. I, like I said, been missing you guys here in Montreal. I know you guys have been busy.
Yes.
And yeah, it looks like this is going to be a good event and looking forward to 2018.
Exactly. Yeah. No, we're excited. You know, we're stoked. I think it's again, a start for us. We want to, we still want to do cool events in Montreal, and I hope people enjoy, and we'll come back every year.
Sweet. So give us the deets on where people can find out all the information and more on Northern Arena.
Yeah, exactly. Just go on northernarena.ca, go on the website, and you'll be able to see the page for Northern Arena Experience, and you'll be able to buy your tickets on Eventbrite. And yeah, obviously hit us up on social media, you know, Northern Arena on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. We're there.
Perfect. Thanks, Carl.
Amazing. Awesome. Thanks.
See you soon.
Have a good day.
And to close out this show, before I let y'all run away, of course, I want to thank Fun.io, a wonderful website partner. If you're looking for some website hosting, be it something quite large where you need VPS hosting, or maybe something small like a WordPress blog, you should go check them out. They are wonderful, wonderful folks doing wonderful things with web hosting. Simon, what's going on with the stream team? Getting ready for the holidays?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, holidays means breaks, means more people streaming, probably.
Me included, hopefully.
Yeah, you included. You can start streaming again. So if you wanna know all about the Girls on Games stream team, you can follow Girls on Game on Twitter or go to girlsongames.tv.
Thank you very much, Catherine. There's lots of stuff going on our website.
It is. It is holidays happening. So we have a Power Up Eggnog and Sugar Cookies recipe from Pixel Princess 80. Very delicious. Allie put together a geeky gift guide. So you have loot.
It's pretty damn cool.
Yeah, it's pretty damn cool. There's loot, so items, and there's must-play games. So check it out if you're still shopping for some holiday gifts, because we know you want to be early, but you never are, admit it.
Shopping on the 24th early-ish. At 5 p.m. What? Closing at the stores? What?
And also, holidays mean end of year means game of the year. So we've put up our yearly poll for you to vote for your game of the year 2017.
Yeah, which we ask, what is your game of the year and why is it Breath of the Wild?
Basically.
Because if you don't choose Breath of the Wild, are you drunk?
It could be it could be Odyssey.
No.
No, it's never mind.
No Horizon Zero Dawns?
No. They're both fantastic. A lot of fantastic games came out this year, but none of them had the impact that Breath of the Wild.
I figure if you choose something else than Breath of the Wild, you haven't played Breath of the Wild.
Pretty much. Yeah, that's pretty much exactly what's going to happen.
Wow.
And,
Wait, save this. I am gonna save it. We got a game of the year podcast coming up.
It's fine. I just wanted to like throw my hat in the ring and be like, okay, fine. Let's throw down on the game of the year podcast. I've got thoughts. I've got thoughts and feelings, and you guys know how.
Oh yeah, we know you have feelings
about my thoughts and my feelings. So, tune in to that.
It's gonna be a good one. Oh, it's gonna be dicey. I like it.
And finally, once again, we are partnering with MIGS, the Montreal International Gaming Summit, which is an industry event here in Montreal, which is very big and very important. And Leah's going to go and get some beautiful interviews for the GOG cast.
Yes. Yay!
And finally, we dive into the rabbit hole that is Doki Doki Literature Club. So move over, Dream Daddy. There's a new visual novel in town.
Oh,
ooh, yeah.
So hey, check that out.
I don't want to go back on the votes, but someone voted for Call of Duty World War II, and I'm fucking convinced it's Steffi.
It's either Steffi or Nixie.
Yeah, it's one of the
others. No, I wouldn't put... I don't think Nixie would have voted for that.
I don't think so, either.
No.
And surprisingly, so far... Hey, you didn't even put Battlefront in the freaking list.
Battlefront came out the year before.
No, Battlefront 2. Unless you called it Star Wars.
Star Wars. Yeah, it's called Star Wars
Battlefront. It's not there. 2. Oh, yeah, it is Battlefront 2. Zero votes!
Doug, get your shit together.
Ali, I will come down to wherever you live and murder your face.
So, of course, before I let all these fun folks run away, I want them to tell you guys their social media so that you can follow them. So, Catherine, where can people track you down?
I am CSDSBINS on Twitter and Instagram. Follow me there to see my photos of me drunk in a ball pit.
That was pretty funny.
True story. It was pretty funny.
True story.
Mm-hmm. How about you, Allie?
I can be found as 8-Bit Blonde pretty much everywhere on the internets, including Mixer, Xbox, and Twitter.
Thank you very much. Twitter. Simon!
Hey, you... Do you like esports? Do you like listening to podcasts? Do you like to hear opinions about esports on a podcast? Then you should definitely follow Buffs and Arrows on Twitter, podcast about esports that I'm hosting with a lot of cool friends. If you don't want to follow, if you don't like esports, still want to follow me for some reason, I am GOG Simon on Twitter.
And I am Leah Jewer on most social media platforms. But if you want to find me on Mixer, which I really hope that once I'm done all this work stuff, I can actually start streaming again. I want to play some more Minecraft. I want to take part in that 12 Days of Minecraft thing. I'll actually start streaming. So Xbox Live and Mixer, I'm GOG Leah. But of course, you want to know everything there is to know. But of course, you want to know everything there is to know about Girls on Games. You can track us down on social media. We are The Girls on Games on Twitter and Facebook. Just Girls on Games on Instagram. If you want to continue this lovely conversation and more, you can do that on our Discord channel. That's discord.me/girlsongames. But of course, anything you need to know is on our home base. That's our website, girlsongames.ca. So once again, thank you, Kat. Thank you, Allie. Thank you, Simon. Thank you for listening. It's been a lovely week. I am ready to play more, especially since I'm going to be flying a bit. I'm going to be bringing my Switch on the go, and it's going to be a good time.
And especially thank you, Bowie, for being...
Yes, Bowie, for being the star of this podcast. That is, he's yawning. He's in the camera, though you guys can't see the camera. He's very jealous right now, and he wants me to go play with him. So maybe I should go do that. All right, time to go do that. Thanks, everybody. Have a wonderful week. Talk soon. Bye.